Well, we made it. We made it to the new year. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. And I'm thankful that we get to travel this road together, that we don't have to do this all by ourselves, that we can help one another get to heaven. But in mindful of a new year beginning, I would like to ask a question, and that is, can one single statement from Jesus change your life?
Assuredly.
Yeah, think about that for a moment. Can a single statement of Jesus change your marriage? Can a single statement of Jesus change your family, your job, your relationships, your devotion to God? And you know the answer. The answer is yes. We're going to look at one single statement that could change your life. If, and that's the largest word in the English language, if you apply it faithfully, this single statement from Jesus could change your life. It's actually in a section where Jesus is telling us how to handle, for example, personal insults or injuries. How to handle if someone were to take you to court. How to handle if someone was to ask for assistance. How to handle if you were forced into labor by law. And the whole point is to overcome evil with good. In all of those situations, Jesus explains how to do this. It's in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And beginning in verse 40, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. So Jesus is giving these instructions on how to overcome evil with good. And there's this statement in here, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. What we're going to find out is the first mile is the law mile. It's the mile you have to go by law. The second mile is the love mile. It's the mile that you go by, not by law, but by love. What is Jesus talking about here? Why would somebody be compelled to walk a mile? And who in their right mind would walk a mile and then decide to go another mile more? Who would do that? And why? You know, what is Jesus talking about here? Well, it helps to have some context. Israel in the first century was an occupied territory. It was ruled by Rome. And Rome ruled by power, by conquest, by greed. And when Rome would conquer a land, they would come in to a town or a city, and they would erect an archway, and they would force the citizens to walk through this archway to signify that they are now under the yoke, under the bondage of Rome. And sometimes it was all the citizens of the city. Sometimes it was just the leaders, the chief leaders of the city. But it was done publicly, and it was to show that they are now under the yoke, under the bondage, under the law, and are to now respect Rome. And so, under Roman law, a Roman soldier could come up to anybody on the side of the street, come up to anybody in a courtyard, and he could enlist them to carry their pack or their burden or whatever for 1 mile. And that was Roman law. And so a soldier could just come up and enlist anyone at any time and say, carry my pack 1 mile. And that was the law. They had to do it. The problem was, and this is the problem of all laws, it was often abused. Sometimes a Roman soldier wanted them to carry it more than a mile. And they would abuse this law. And the Jews hated this law. This law was truly a thorn in their side. It was humiliating. because it reminded them constantly that they were an oppressed nation. And they had to do it. So they decided they were going to try to outsmart the Romans. And so what they did is they, from the center of town, they marched off 5,280 feet in every direction there was a road. And they put a peg right there on the side of the road, 5,280 feet. And when they had to carry that pack, they would reach that marker, that mile marker, and they'd drop the pack, and they'd say, I'm not going to go any further. This is what I had to do by law. And so that's what they did. Why would Jesus then say, if you're compelled to go 1 mile, go with them too? Why would Jesus say that? That's going beyond the law. The law is just 1 mile. Why would Jesus say, if someone compels you to go 1 mile, go with them too? And can you imagine the Jewish audience that Jesus is talking to? Now, this is the Sermon on the Mount. And you've got a lot of people listening. Can you imagine the Jews hearing this and saying, did he just say that? Did he just say that if I have to carry a Roman soldier's pack 1 mile to go ahead and just take it to 2 miles? I mean, imagine the reaction. Rome was built on power, on conquest, on greed. It was enforced by the penalty of death. Do you realize how offensive this would be to even hear Jesus say this? But we have to remember something. The kingdom of God is not built on greed and worldly power. It's built on faith and love. And so freedom is not going to come from a Jewish revolt. Freedom is going to come from a heart set free by grace. This is a kingdom not of this world. Rome was a kingdom of this world. But the kingdom of God is a kingdom not of this world. So we're not playing by the same rules here. Okay? Now, let's talk about the characteristics of going 1 mile. There are 1 mile people. They will go as far as they have to go, and they're not going to go one step more. Okay? There's 1 mile marriages. And in a 1 mile marriage, the husband is only going to go so far, he's not going to go anymore. The wife is only going to go so far, she's not going to go anymore. She's going to say, I cooked the meals, I raised the kids, I did everything I was supposed to do. And I'm not going to do any more. I'm done. And the husband is going to say, I worked long hours, I paid the bills, I provided for my family, I did everything I had to do. And I'm tired. I'm not going to go any more than that. And so you have 1 mile marriages where they're always arguing over that 50%. I do 50%, she does 50%, but we're always going to argue over, no, you did 49, I did 51. Right? There's always that, I did more. No, I did more. Arguing over that 1 mile. And then there's some Christians who are 1 mile Christians. 1 mile Christians. This is as far as I'm going to go. I'm not going to go one step further than this. Jim Hoff told the story of meeting a pastor who had said that he'd preached for 25 or 30 years. And when Jim asked him where he worshipped, he was retired. And he said, I'm retired. I don't worship now. I did my time. Oh, man. He preached for 25 or 30 years and he retired and just, he didn't worship the Lord after that. He said, he thought he did his time. Now, that's shocking. Why? Why is that shocking? Because he was a preacher. But you know what's not shocking? When just your average Christian does it. It was shocking because he was a professional Christian. He got paid to be a Christian. He can't quit. Oh, but your average Christian, he can retire. Right? He can reach retirement. And he can retire from the Lord. That's okay. It happened in Sardis. Remember, they had a reputation for being alive. They were actually spiritually dead. In Ephesus, they'd left their first love. The Laodiceans, they were so lukewarm, they made Jesus sick. Now, think of these characteristics. If we're talking about just 1 mile people, think of the characteristics of just going 1 mile. Resentment is one. I mean, I had to go 1 mile. I had to do that, so I did it. But I'm not going to go anymore. I mean, I resented the first mile. What do you think I'm going to think about the second mile? So there's resentment. And then there's judging and there's comparing. I mean, think about it. 5,280 steps. I did it. You have to do it too. I did 5,280 steps where, you know, and no, I'm just constantly judging. I had to do it. Now I'm going to make you do it. You know, because I had to do it. So you got this judging and this comparing. You got this grumbling too. Complaining. Remember the parable of the talents? The master is leaving for a far country. He gives 5 talents to one man, 2 talents to another, 1 talent to another. And he goes into a far country. Well, he comes back after a period of time, and the one who'd been given 5 talents, he says, "Look, Lord, You gave me 5, I've made 5 more." And he says, "Thank you, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a little, I'm going to make you faithful with much. Enter into the joy of your father." The man who was given 2 talents, "I was given 2, here's 2 more. Thank you, good and faithful servant." But the one who was given 1 talent, he buried it in the ground. He didn't use it. And when the master came back, he digs it up out of the ground and he hands it to the master and he says, "Look, you gave me 1 talent, I'm giving it back to you." And he said, "You wicked and lazy servant." But when you read the text, the man was blaming the master. He says, "I knew you were a hard man. I knew where you would reap where you did not sow." He starts blaming the boss, the master. And he buried the talent. And the point of the parable was that he took the 1 talent that he was given to him, but he didn't want to use it, so he buried it. Then he turned around and then he blamed the boss for being too strict, for being too demanding. And this is what happens with people who are only going to go the 1 mile that they have to go. "I'm only going 1 mile, but I'm going to complain every step of the way. I'm going to let you know I'm not happy about this. And when it comes time, you know, I'm going to blame someone else for my own laziness." And that's what happened to the man with 1 talent. You also have this lack of empathy. Remember the man? He's beaten and left half for dead on the side of the road. He's bleeding on the side of the road. And here comes this priest. And he walks by and he looks at the man beat up and he just keeps on walking. And then here comes the Levite, and he sees the man half dead on the side of the road, and then he keeps walking. The Samaritan was the only one who went the extra mile. Now the priest and the Levite, they were going on the law mile. And they were like, "I'm a priest, I'm important. I don't have time for this. You know, I've got work at the temple to do." So he's on his way. And then the Levite, "I'm a Levite, I'm important. You know, I've got work I got to get done. So I'm going the law mile. You know, I don't have time for this." The Samaritan was the only one who went the extra mile and didn't come up with excuses. And then, of course, there's a lack of joy and peace. I mean, I'm only doing this because I have to, right? There's no joy in my heart about this. I'm doing this because I have to do it. It's an obligation. It's a burden. There's no joy in my heart. And then, of course, there's guilt, because deep down, I know I'm only doing as little as possible. I did get through school that way. I mean, C's do get degrees. I did as little as possible. And you know what? I told my girls, "Don't do what I did." I don't even feel good about it to this day. I just basically did as little as possible. You're almost faking it through, right? because you didn't do the reading, you didn't do the homework, so you're having to fake it half the time. And I just told him, don't do that. Don't do it the way I did it. You're going to enjoy it. Just get into it and just immerse yourself in it and enjoy it. If you do it the way I did it, you're not going to feel good about it. There was a preacher named Jim Lee, faithful gospel preacher. He's gone to be with the Lord. And Jim Lee preached on this passage. And he said, let me tell you about what an immature Christian once did. Early in his Christian life, he said he had a Sunday routine. And that routine was to read the comics and the sports pages. That was his Sunday morning routine. And one day, he gets a phone call from one of the elderly sisters in the congregation. And she calls Sunday morning, Brother Lee, can you pick me up for church? And he says, yeah, I could pick you up. Hangs up the phone. He said, I went into a mini fit. Why can't I just relax? I get one day off. He was working at a factory job at the time. Why? I get one day off. Why do I have to interrupt my morning schedule to go pick up this elderly woman from church? He says, Brother so-and-so is right around the corner. Why can't he do it? You know, why can't he pick her up? He said, looking back, he said, I could just bawl right now thinking about it. What's more precious than an elderly Christian woman wanting a ride to church? Is there anything more precious than that? And he said, I could just cry right now just thinking about it. Jim changed. And he became a faithful Christian, faithful gospel preacher, and he went to be with the Lord. But he never did forget that. That's walking the law mile. I know that we've all been there. We've all done this. We've all done the law mile. And we're only going to go so far, we don't want to go one step for more. There is another mile, though. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. The first mile is the law mile. The second mile is the love mile. And now consider going back to the first century. Imagine someone is forcing you to carry their heavy backpack for 1 mile, and you reach the mile marker, and he stops and you stop. Because that's where everybody drops the bag and says, I'm done, see ya, bye. But instead, you just smile and say, oh, I'm walking with you another mile. We're going to go 2 miles today. Now, something just changed right there. There was a power differential between the soldier and you. That's changed now. Now, there's a power shift. Now, you're choosing to go the second mile. You're not compelled to go the second mile. And now, something's changed in this arrangement, in this relationship. So let's say you're walking along now, and perhaps a conversation takes place. And perhaps now you're not talking as adversaries, you're now talking as fellow human beings. And perhaps the soldier says, no one's ever volunteered to go an extra mile before. And perhaps this is when you say, Jesus went the extra mile for me, and I want to go the extra mile for him. Do you see how that dynamic has completely changed? You're not doing it because you have to. You're doing it because you want to. The law mile, you had to do. The love mile, you choose to do. And here's where things open up. Now we're talking about the choice to forgive. The choice to be kind, to give grace, to encourage, to help. This is the extra mile. This is the love mile. You don't have to do those things necessarily, right? So let's look at some characteristics of walking the love mile. And remember, there's 1 mile people, 1 mile marriages, 1 mile Christians, but there's also extra mile people, extra mile marriages, extra mile Christians. one of the characteristics, of course, is love. They're going to go the love mile. And agape, remember, is not a feeling. We're not doing this based on feelings or emotions. We're doing this by choice, by determination. That's what agape is. I'm choosing to love this person. How about encouragement? Everyone needs encouragement, but who's willing to give it? Right? How about kindness? Could you be kind for $10,000? Seriously, if you were told, if you could be kind, husbands, to your wife for 3 months for $10,000, could you do it? Could you not argue for 3 months for 10 grand? Well, of course you could. You can choose to do it, right? Which makes it a choice, which means you could do it without 10 grand because you could do it for 10 grand. And wives, could you respect your husbands for 10 grand and not argue for 3 months if you were promised $10,000? Yes, of course you could. Of course you could. What about forgiveness? I think about Joseph. Joseph had every right to resent his brothers. I mean, talk about dysfunctional family. They were going to kill him. Only one of the brothers talked the other brothers into saying, let's not kill him. Let's just sell him into slavery. You know, I mean, he had a lot to resent. And when the tables were turned, now Joseph, after 2 years in prison, is now second in command of Egypt. And it's payback time, right? He could have made their lives miserable. He had the authority probably to have them killed, put to death. But he didn't, did he? He chose the extra mile. He actually chose to forgive them when he had every right to resent them. Giving grace, because Christ gave grace to us. Joy, which is not a characteristic of one milers. You will find joy with those who go the extra mile. Hope, those who walk the love mile aren't hyper-focused on themselves, you know, and demanding and overbearing. It's not like that for extra milers. It is for one milers. You know, they're going to corner you till they get what they want. You know, I'm not going to be nice until I get my way. That's a one miler. Our dear sister Carol Crawford, she ran the race. She finished, and she's with the Lord now. She had a good life, but she did not have an easy life at all times. Remember, Carol was born premature. Her and her twin brother were born premature, and she said that her dad said that he could hold her in the palm of his hand. That's how small she was when she was born. She had a deformity on one hand as a result of that being born premature. But let me tell you, she got tough. And you wouldn't know that knowing her in her older age. But her and her twin brother, who were born premature, they were healthier and lived longer than their brothers and sisters who were born healthy. But Carol had a life story. And I remember on several occasions her telling me the story of how her and her husband got married when they were young. She was 16 or 17. They met at church. And after they got married, he stopped going to church. You know, he just kind of left the Lord. And yet Carol would take the kids to church every Sunday. She raised them in the Lord. And eventually, they moved to Grants Pass, and her husband retired and started teaching flying lessons at the Grants Pass Airport. He was a flight instructor. And, of course, he ended up meeting somebody a woman younger and prettier than Carol, and he ended up having an affair. He's having an affair even though Carol had been a devoted mother and wife all these years. So he starts having an affair with this woman. He doesn't know it, but he has cancer. And cancer is catching up to him. And this younger woman, this girlfriend, when his cancer is starting to take away his health, she starts losing interest, right? She didn't sign on for that. She didn't sign on for him getting cancer and this and that. And so what ended up happening was she ended up leaving him for his best friend. So she broke up another marriage. Meanwhile, he's got cancer that's terminal. And guess who he goes crawling back to? And guess who took him in? Carol took him back and took care of him until he died of cancer. She did not have to do that. And maybe she would have been right not to. But you know what? She went the extra mile. She ended up doing it not because it was easy. She just did it because she felt it was right. In the end, she told me that he admitted to her it was a terrible mistake. But that wasn't until all the damage was done. How are we going to go the extra mile? We've looked at the law mile. We looked at the love mile. What about going the extra mile? The first mile, of course, is by law, and the second is by love. And we do have an example in the New Testament of a man who was enlisted by a Roman soldier to carry a burden. Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him. This is Jesus as he's just finished trial. And bowing the knee, the soldiers, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passed by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Here is a New Testament example of someone who was compelled, and that's the Greek word that Jesus used there, compelled, enlisted by a soldier to carry a burden, and by law he could not refuse it. And so here's Jesus carrying the cross after being up all night. He's been beaten, he's been scourged, they spit on him, they blindfolded him, they slapped him, and they said, "Prophesy, who slapped you?" So he's been beaten and scourged through the night, and now he's being forced to carry the cross to Golgotha, the place of the skull. And Jesus' body literally gives out. He can't carry this huge timber of a Roman cross. And so they enlist another man to carry it, Simon of Cyrene. And by law, Simon has to step forward, pick up the cross, and carry it for Jesus. And that's what he does. Now, he could have gone to Golgotha and dropped the cross and said, "I did what you asked me to do, I'm leaving." He very well could have done that. Because he's not there to carry a criminal's cross. He's there for Passover. But there's another possibility, and that is that he could sense that something was going on. Something out of the ordinary was happening. It's possible that he stayed and watched what was happening. And don't forget, there were seven miracles at the cross. Don't you think Simon would have noticed the darkness for 3 hours? The earthquake, right? The graves opening. And the veil of the temple torn. Something was happening. We have evidence that Simon of Cyrene became a Christian. His two sons were named by name. And why would they be named by name unless the church knew who they were? Paul named one of them, Rufus, and the mother, in his greeting at the end of the book of Romans. So we have evidence that Simon had traveled from Cyrene for the Passover, not realizing it would change his life, not realizing it would change his family's life, not realizing it would give him a future and a hope. He was forced to carry the cross by law, but he was compelled by love to follow the Savior by becoming a Christian. The first mile is the law mile. The second mile is the love mile. Jesus, of course, fulfilled the law mile. He then walked the love mile. Remember, Jesus fulfilled all the law and the prophets. And in the garden, you remember, he suffered acute anxiety. Acute anxiety to the point of his sweat becoming like drops of blood. What did he do? He did two critical things. First, he prayed to the Father three times. And remember, he asked, "Let this cup pass from me, if it be thy will. But not my will, but thy will be done." So he prayed, and then he submitted to the Father. And God sent an angel to comfort him. Jesus was going to go through with it. He was at a critical point. He could have chosen, "I'm not going to go the extra mile. I'm going to stop here because they don't deserve it." Right? They've all sinned. He reached a critical point, and so he prayed to the Father, and that gave him the strength to go through. You see, the love mile is always going to seem like the hardest mile. That's the way we think. But we don't have to walk this mile alone. The truth is, we really don't have the strength to do the second mile in ourselves, by ourselves. We don't have the strength to do it alone. The beauty is that we don't have to do it alone, because God is going to help us. Moses couldn't do it alone, right? He says, I can't even speak. And God says, "Who made your mouth?" He says, "What is in your hand?" "A staff." So he used that staff. How about Abraham? He couldn't do it alone, but God provided. And what about Paul? Paul couldn't do it alone, but God strengthened him. In fact, isn't it interesting that Jesus is our mediator? And the definition of a mediator is someone who comes up alongside to strengthen, to encourage. That's what's happening. When you take the love mile, you're going alongside someone and helping them. Well, that's what Jesus is doing for us. He's coming alongside and he's strengthening us and helping us. Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Remember, he prayed three times, "Let this thorn in the flesh be taken away." And the answer was, "My grace is sufficient for you, because my strength is made perfect in your weakness." So the answer was no. But Christ was going to help him and strengthen him. Because God is never going to ask us to do what he won't help us to do. He's always going to give us the strength that we need. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We're always going to think the love mile is the hardest mile. And yet Jesus says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." He's going to help us. And you'll be surprised how God can strengthen you to go that extra mile. So, what would walking the love mile do for you? What would it do for your faith? What would it do for your marriage? What would it do for your devotion to God? What would it do for your service in His kingdom? What would doing the extra mile do? It's going to change your life, is what it's going to do. It's going to change your family's life. It's going to change maybe multiple generations' lives just by doing this one thing that Jesus says. If we can help in any way, please let it be known as we stand and as we sing.